But that's all right. I can do that. And I promise you. Now, last week, the church presented me with a new Bible. And, you know, man, it is just so bright and so new. I just don't want to put it down. And, boy, I'll probably have a long sermon today to go with this brand new Bible. Aren't y'all glad about that? Miss Andrea, she complains about how long I go, you know, and then she goes longer than I go. I don't understand that. I don't understand that, right? Not at all, not at all. Well, I hope to be a blessing to you today, and I thank God for this special day in the Lord. Brother Dan, Miss Debbie would be here with us today, and I told Brother Dan, he walked in, I want you to know we love you and we're praying for you. Amen? Amen. Family, amen. Immorality is abounding in our land. Sexual confusion is at an all-time high. Work ethic has been greatly diminished. Hidden indoctrination is rampant. From the trans movement, critical race theory, now anti-Semitism, to communism and socialism, which are twin sisters. Now, these formerly hidden things, for the most part, are coming out of the closet, and they are ugly. They're ugly. On the same day, Hamas invaded Israel. The same day, they butchered mothers and babies, cooked babies alive. Brutality, like the vast majority in the world has never seen. Innocent Jews slaughtered by butchers. A medical doctor and female, which in my mind makes it worse. A medical doctor and female, very nicely dressed, all prim and proper, so she would have you think. And I'm going to mispronounce her name. I didn't have time, nor really the inclination, to look up how to properly pronounce her name. I don't think she deserves that kind of respect. But I'll spell it so you'll know who they are. Her name, Dr. Majd Aburabia, M-A-J-D, last name A-B-U-R-A-B-I-A, at Beaumont Hospital's Breast Center in Dearborn, Michigan, put out a notice, a public notice, online, supporting post using the Oklahoma, Lord help us, Oklahoma musical's photo and song, "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, Oh, What a Beautiful Day," in celebration of that butchery in our own land. I said, in our own land. That's coming out of the closet. And then in parentheses, you know, if you know what I know, or if you know, you know. In other words, what this is all about. Celebrating that butchery. A professional woman, coming out publicly in America celebrating insane butchery of the innocent. The Vatican released a document affirming that individuals suffering from gender identity disorders are to be allowed now to be baptized and to be named as godparents under specific circumstances. In somewhat ambiguous clarification, the guidance specifies that in order for individuals with gender identity afflictions to be baptized, it must not cause, quote, scandal or disorientation. So as long as it's not known by the public so that it creates a scandal, it's okay. What kind of deception is this? Now let me get a little bit closer to home, all right? And this one really makes me a little irritated. In Alabama, Baptist, God help us, Baptist pastor and mayor was leading a double life with perverted posts, porn, pictures, and more. And with his wife's knowledge. First Baptist Church in a southern town in our country. After he was found out, this is what he said. Quote, what I do in private life has nothing to do with what I do in my holy life. Bite your tongue, man. Nothing to do in your holy life. You're not holy. You're a pervert. I told you it kind of gets under my skin a little bit. Copeland, he said, does this have any effect on me being mayor? But it gets worse. That I sometimes put on a dress and sometimes put on makeup, and that's the very tip of the iceberg of what that cat did. Does this have anything to do whatsoever with me being a mayor or being a pastor? This man was pastor of First Baptist Church near Phoenix City, Alabama. Alabama! Not Rhode Island, not San Francisco, in the South. Alabama! Alabama! How do we, as a people in these United States, get to the point? Any Christian would think, it's okay to profess Christ, even be a spiritual leader in a New Testament church that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, while at the same time living as a pervert. How do you get to that point in a country whose motto is "In God We Trust"? How do you get there? In a wife that knew about it all along to boot. And I have no problem with it. She's just as weak as he was. Teddy Roosevelt, he said years ago, aggressive fighting for the right is the greatest sport in the world. Fighting for what's right. He also said, quote, the worst of all fears is the fear of living. Living. Apostle Paul seems to me agrees with him. Right there in your Bibles, if you take your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'd like to preach maybe one or two or three or four, Miss Andrea. I'll fight the good fight of faith. I thought it would be a good topic for today. Fight the good fight of faith. You catch me in chapter 6 as I begin. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. What happened to godliness? He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Is. Whereof cometh strife, envy, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they which will be rich, lust for money, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But his word to Timothy, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, follow after
righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on means to seize eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. I charge thee in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be glory and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and they that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. What a chapter. The Apostle Paul, of course, he left Timothy, his son in the faith, at a church in Ephesus, and it was a great church. And there Timothy would be in for the fight of his life. You want to talk about new preachers and being in the fight of the life? Talk to Brother Giordano over there. Talk to Brother Ben Springer out there in Noonan. They're in for the fight of their life. They never knew such a fight existed on the planet. But buddy, they know now. They know now. Now this fight is not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. We're reminded of Paul's words at the church at Corinth, when he wrote to them in the second book, 2 Corinthians 10:4, he says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So Paul, the apostle, is clearly identifying this spiritual battle is not about tearing down signposts, spray painting statues and buildings, breaking glass, firebombing cars and turning over police cars. Has nothing to do with any of that foolishness. That's the other side. He's speaking about a spiritual fight using spiritual weapons. Spiritual fight using spiritual weapons. Turn over to chapter 4 of the second book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul in his second letter to Timothy, nearing Paul's final days of his execution by the Roman government. This is what Paul said to Timothy with a very strong admonition and charge, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4. He says, "I charge thee therefore before God." Now I want you to know, you and I both live before God. You may think you don't live before God, but every person lives before God. "Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch." Well, what does that mean, the word watch? It means to soberly pay attention. Soberly pay attention. "But watch thou in all things." All things. "Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." So pay attention now. Endure afflictions. Don't have a glass jaw. Endure afflictions. "Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Then Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. My days are about done." Then reflecting upon this admonition to Timothy, in the first letter he says in verse 7, "I," speaking of himself, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." So the Apostle Paul wasn't saying, "Well, you just do, Timothy, like I say, not like what I do." He was a far better man than that. I said he's a far better man than that. Would to God we had far better men that would say, "Don't do what I say, do what I do. Do as I do." That's what he's saying here. So fighting this good fight of faith is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. But let me tell you, it's more fierce and it is more complicated than a physical battle. The primary nature of this battle, of course, is spiritual, yet it does require us to use our brain, our spirit, our tongue, our body as a vessel of honor. As a vessel of honor. Now, there's no such thing as an obedient Christian who is a non-combatant. I'll say that again. There's no such thing as an obedient Christian who is a non-combatant in this spiritual battle. If you're a Christian and you're not in this, engaged in the spiritual battle, you're not being an obedient Christian. There's no such thing as being a Christian following the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and being a non-combatant in this spiritual warfare. In a movie one time, the character played well, I might add, by Sam Elliott. Yeah, I wish I could do him justice. He tells a young man who's a non-combatant. He tells a young man who's taking pictures during a fierce battle in Vietnam. They are surrounded and being attacked. Men are dying. In this... Sergeant Major, he grabs an M16 and some magazines, and he tosses them into the lap of this young man with his camera. To which this young man makes an appeal, and he says, "Sir, I am a non-combatant." And he properly says, "There ain't no such thing today, boy." Did I get close? "There ain't no such thing today, boy." No such thing in such a battle as that as a non-combatant. You either fight or you die. I fear, truly fear, far too many Christians think that they can live an obedient Christian life taking pictures. Talking about the battle, even writing about the battle, but are not in the battle. They've never picked up the weapons, the spiritual weapons, and gone to battle. Wednesday night, I mentioned a fight which took place in Bible college years ago, and yes, this is being recorded, so maybe I should say this. And it was not a spiritual fight. It was on the other side of that thing. And so lay that for a minute aside. I said about this brute, the guy on the opposing team, they came, and about him running over a cheerleader. I mean, not just intentionally trying to hurt the littlest of the cheerleaders. Then cutting out the legs of our player, going up just for a simple layup, just trying to hurt him. I mean, it could have seriously injured him. Could even flip him around, and he breaks his neck right there on the basketball court. And then when that crazy bully plastered the nose of our center, our tall man, you know, popped him right in the nose, blood went everywhere. On the basketball court, the home team. What I did share with you is that the home team ran for the locker room as directed by the coach. Only two men on our basketball team were in the fight. The one that got popped in the nose and another young man. And one fan
I'll leave that to you to figure out who that guy was.
What I did not tell you Wednesday night is that their whole team, the other side, their whole team, they were all in the fight with their Goliath against our two members of the team and one fan. If you can say nothing else for the enemies of Christ, you can say this. Buddy, they stick together, don't they? They stick together. So their team cleared the bench to join the fight. Our team, two players and a fan. The rest of the team, led by the coach, pushing their way to the locker room, getting out of Dodge. And it was on. Now, I had no idea. I was a young guy, brother. I was a young guy. I was young. I had no idea what I was witnessing would be a prophetic casting of what would come later in the spiritual fight in my future. To see so many who have on the robe, come on, who have on the garments, but when the heat gets a little hot in the kitchen, they're running for the locker room. I had no idea that what I saw physically in a physical fight would be a foreshadowing, prophetic foreshadowing of what would be taking place among preachers and Christian churches all around our country. But you've proven to me otherwise. I dare you to try. I think you'll find it fairly accurate. So in life, more often than not, the bad guys show up in force and they stick together. And the good guys, it seems, are easily scattered and tempted to call for a pause and fighting against murdering thugs. Did I say that? I guess I did. Why in the world do you want to pause giving it to the bad guys to fight? Lunacy's abounding. If the council comes from the UN, throw it out. Now, in honor of our veterans, I wanted to have a little spunk today. On purpose. Now, if you're going to fight the good fight of faith, let me give you a few things. Number one, you've got to choose to do so. You've got to make a choice. You've got to choose. Oh, Moses, that old man back over there in Exodus. Listen to what happened in chapter 32, 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and he said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" What a man. Called for there to be an accounting. "Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Who's on the Lord's side? Indeed. Who's on the Lord's side? Are you? Would you stand right now before a holy God? I stand with the Lord. And if need be, I will die for my Lord. Philippians 1:21, Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know this passage well. God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. And it came to the question, or the challenge, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose. A lot of people just don't want to make a choice. But I'm here to tell you, you must choose. If you do not choose to be in this fight, you're fighting for the other side. You're fighting for the other side. So number two, if you're going to fight the good fight of faith, you've got to choose to lay down certain things. Put them away. Put them away. In our text in chapter 6, verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things," which takes our attention to all that which precedes that verse. If you look prior to verse 11, you will see things like an improper service to the Lord, a service without the right spirit. You'll see unwholesome words. You'll see pride. envy in the text, a lust for money, not just a lust. The love of money is the root of all. Lust for money, 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 strife, envyings, railings, ungodliness. Now, a lot of people in the country, they say they want to become Christian as long as they can live like a sinner. As long as they can still live like a reprobate and wear their dresses being a man. And our preachers and our priests seem to be fairly okay with it. If you want to fight the good fight of faith according to this book, you've got to lay some things aside. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's nasty. Get rid of it. It's nasty. Number three, if you want to fight the good fight of faith, you have to choose, after getting rid of some things, to take up some other things. Look in verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after, in contrast to all of that stuff, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. You've got to take those things up. You don't get to live a Christian life and fight the good fight of faith being meaner than a snake. Follow, pursue righteousness, godliness. Our grandparents knew a whole lot more about godliness than this generation does. Godliness. Faith. So the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Love. Well, I love the people I like. That's not what the book says. Love even your enemies. Patience. Oh, patience. Oh, patience. Right now. Meekness, power under control. Meekness. Number four, if you want to fight the good fight of faith, you have to choose the lifelong battle. I, in watching a particular program of Vietnam, some of you non-veterans, I learned that in Vietnam, those who served in combat in the tours that they went out, they served longer terms of duration in heat of battle than the soldiers did in World War I and World War II. And I guess that probably also included Korean War. I don't know that, but the article was talking about how they would go out and then they'd be taken back behind the lines and they got to, you know, recover and rest a little bit and regroup, you know, mentally, emotionally. And then they back into the trenches, of course, in trench warfare. But in Vietnam, as compared to all the other battles of our fighting men, in Vietnam, they had to engage and stay engaged much, much longer and did. And did. Have you known so many Christians that name the name of Christ? They seem to fight the good fight of faith for a little while and then they bail out. They fade away. They ride off into the sunset. Huh? Come on. Yeah. Now look at this word. Pay close attention to this in chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold, that word means to seize with all of your might. All of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul. Sound familiar? To seize with all of your might. A great example, of course, of this, it was within the mighty man of David in that battle. Against the Philistines, took up a sword in his hand. Read all about it in 2 Samuel chapter 23. He had a death grip on the sword so that when the battle was over, he couldn't turn loose of his sword. He had a death grip on that sword. Why? Because it was the means of life and battle. That's what this means. to lay hold on with the intent to never let go. Because if I let go, I die. Again, no such thing as a non-combatant, sir. I'm a non-combatant, sir. There ain't no such thing today, boy. There's no such thing today. Our Lord said, you are either with me or you are against me. That's pretty plain, isn't it? I think a third grader could understand that. And they do, by the way, if we'll plainly teach them what God's word says. You're either on the Lord's side or you're not on the Lord's side. If you're not on the Lord's side, you're on the devil's side. Every member of New Heights Baptist, I'm talking to our guests now. Thank you for being here, but I'm talking to our members. Every member of New Heights Baptist Church should be a witnessing believer. Every member. Every member of New Heights Baptist Church should be a tithing giving member. Every member. Every member of New Heights Baptist Church should be a giver to world missions. Every member of New Heights Baptist Church should be loving the Lord and our neighbor. Every member of New Heights Baptist Church should have a compassion making a difference. And every member of New Heights Baptist Church should be fighting the good fight of faith. Every single member. Paul said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Doesn't mean he doesn't have to go to work, provide for his family, but he's not wrapped up. He's not bound. He's not ensnared. He's not taken up, entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. And I've pointed this out many times. Success is going the right way a long time. Stay the course. Stay in the race. For you vets, always in the fight. Always in the fight. Paul writing that carnal church, he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it, that body, my body, into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I think we in life, when we come to a decision, really, to take up, these things and to fight the good fight of faith, we need to at that very same time determine, just like the Lord did, as the prophet said of old about our Lord, as he set his face as flint to the cross. He was determined to see it through. What a hero. My Lord, what a hero. He's the best man you could ever follow on this earth. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the hero of heroes, our mighty King. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Why do you need patience? Oh, you're going to need it. The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Well, we don't want to be shamed. We don't want to be embarrassed. One preacher said years ago, I'll be a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Do you ever think about giving up? Well, I wish I could say as a man, even as a preacher, I wish I could say I never thought about giving up. But it's crossed my mind a few times. Preachers, I guess I'm no different than most other pastors. And Monday morning sometimes comes and you think, Lord, I give them my heart, I give them my life, and boy, they just don't seem to budge, Lord. I just,
Boy, maybe God, I could be just a good Sunday school teacher somewhere, you know. And so you have those thoughts? Yeah. I'm a man with feet of clay, just like you. Jude, of course, verse 3 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. Why? Because the need's there. That you should earnestly contend. Think about a contender. Contend for the faith. Contend. Fight for the faith. Which was once delivered unto the saints. Number 5, and I'm done. We must not grow weary in the fight. Most of the battles in this world, the world over history, are because other people wouldn't quit. They kept coming. They kept coming. They kept coming. Galatians 6, 7 through 9, Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now listen. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I love a man with grit. I love a woman with grit. Who will find right, not sell it, but live it, and never give up on it. I love people like that. It's been well said that two words you and I need to remember on our job and our duty before God that are found also included in a text of the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The two words. Go and lo. Go and lo. Keep going. Go. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. So how about it, Christian? How about it, members? Yes? Are you in the spiritual fight of your life? If not, why not? The greatest warrior, spiritual warrior that ever walked this planet, his name's Jesus, our Lord. He fought and gave it all for you. All. How much have you taken hold of him? And won't let go. Are you known as a Christian? Or are you known as a Christian that others may say, well, you know, you can tempt them to go out and go do this stuff you shouldn't be doing, but they won't do it. You might as well not even ask them. Come on. You might as well not even ask them, because they took a hold of something years ago and they're not going to let go. Are you known as that type of Christian? And if not, I ask you humbly, seriously, why not? Why not? Why not? Let's stand.